When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Shall I take your order or do you need a minute?
Yes, I'll be ready. Just buying a car on Carvana.
What?
It's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do was answer a few questions.
What? That's handy.
Yeah, now I'm customizing my down and monthly payments.
What? That's an exquisite deal.
And just like that, Carvana's delivering my car in a couple days.
What?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'll have the burrito.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval. Delivery fees may apply.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is holding it down for us on the boards in New York City. And you could be on the road, at home, at work, at school, relaxing, chilling. You could be in a submarine right now. I don't know where you're at. Thank you for listening on the free Odyssey app, your local affiliate, SiriusXM channel 158, a smart speaker, CBSSportsRadio.com. People listen in a variety of ways. I don't care how you do it. Thank you so much for doing so. Oh, yeah, by the way, when the show is done, it's also available via podcast, wherever the hell you get your podcasts. All you got to do is just search JR Sport Brief, the same way that you would do it on Google or X, Instagram, Facebook, all of it. Or if you want to call me, it's real simple. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's Wednesday night. I delivered and shared to you a new top six list, which is always fun. Ahead of the NFL draft, or excuse me, ahead of the NFL combine next week, I wanted to highlight some of the biggest and best prospects coming up in this year's draft, which is going to take place in Detroit, Michigan. If you missed it, all the explanations, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. But at number six, I gave you Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU. At number five, I gave you Brock Bowers. At number four, Drake May out of North Carolina. Number three, Jaden Daniels. Number two, Marvin Harrison Jr., bigger than his dad. And at number one, I gave you Caleb Williams. And Caleb Williams is going to be an interesting case because this man, I don't think there's going to be an in-between. He's either going to sink or he's going to swim. And if he's going to swim, I think he's naturally going to mature, I would hope. And I would think that his temperament would change. It's one thing to be in college and USC and season end and you go cry in mom's arms. It's another thing to be at a press conference and just be kind of miserable with the media. Like, bro, this is college. You going to act like Cam Newton at the next level? That's not going to last unless you have success. Cam Newton got away with it because he was an MVP. And then when he wasn't an MVP, Cam Newton, hey, they got him the hell up on out the league. Nobody wanted him anymore. His personality couldn't match what he brought to the field. And for Caleb Williams coming out of USC, he's an interesting case study. It's whether it's the nail polish or the crying, the short answers. Oh, I just want to go home with my dog. I want to go home and pet my dog. I don't want to be here right now. It's like, well, bro, how's that going to fly if he is a Chicago Bear? He would get eaten alive by the media in Chicago. They would eat him alive if this was his behavior. You'd have to hope that his play on the field could justify whatever issues he might have when it comes down to his attitude. And so as I shared with you, him being the number one prospect for me in 2024, yeah, well, there are a lot of wide receivers and QBs on this list. Why? They're the ones who are making the moves here in the NFL. They're the ones who are putting points up on the board. We know nobody gives a damn about the running backs anymore. After these dudes, you move to the trenches with the offensive linemen and then the defensive linemen, the guys who protect the quarterbacks, and then the other ones who destroy him. But you need a quarterback. You got to start somewhere. And so I want you to hear one more time. This is one opinion from Merrill Hodge. He was talking to NBC Sports Chicago. He is not a fan of Caleb Williams.
I've only watched Caleb Williams 3 games last year, 3 this year, so I'm only halfway done, okay? The one thing that is clear, he is not special. He is not something unique like a Patrick Mahomes, and I hope the Bears don't think, well, let's try to make up for our mistake when we pass up Patrick Mahomes and go get the Patrick Mahomes. The kid is not Patrick Mahomes. Ain't even remotely close to that.
Well, that's one opinion, right? Merrill Hodge, played in the NFL, running back, played. And then you got somebody else who was much more successful in the NFL, in college. And, yes, he was also a USC quarterback, and that's Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer sat down with Rich Eisen, and he had some positive words about Caleb Williams. Maybe because they went to the same school? I don't know.
Caleb is the whole package. He's big enough. He's fast enough. He's quick enough. He's got so much velocity on the ball in the pocket. He's got even more velocity on the ball outside the pocket. He's mature beyond his years, and he's got a chance to go into next year's draft as a 2-time Heisman winner, which hasn't been done since Archie Griffith and whatever year that was decades ago.
Right.
I'm excited about Caleb's year, but I think from a pro NFL perspective, he has a chance to be one of the great ones, no doubt.
We'll see. I think a whole lot more of it has to do with his attitude. I would be much more concerned. We can all look at the numbers and the Heisman. I'd be much more concerned with his attitude. Hickey, let me ask you, what do you think about Caleb Williams in regards to being the number one pick, which he's likely to be?
I am all in. I think he's the real deal. I think his talent is off the charts. I don't think there's, like, in terms of on the field ability, I don't think there's a concern. And I have no problem, JR, honestly, with the emotions. You know, whether it's the expletive nail polish against Utah 2 years ago, whether it's the crying in the sand after a game. Like, I think part of that is just competitiveness of wanting to win so bad. Part of that is just immaturity as a college kid that I think he will grow out of as you get older. So I am in. If I'm the Bears, I'm not even thinking about trading the number one pick. I'm all in on Caleb Williams.
When you think about if he doesn't grow up, and this does translate over into the NFL, I was trying to think of miserable-ass quarterbacks, like guys who've been successful but have been, like, real miserable, you know, over the past, I'm thinking 20 years, right? Maybe less. I mentioned Cam Newton. He comes to mind. Chicago is real familiar with a miserable quarterback. Jay Cutler, to me, looked like he was always on the sideline, like he needed a cigarette. Like, he never looked happy. He looked miserable. Trying to think about somebody else who was successful but never happy. You know, Baker Mayfield at times, he's just like, are you happy? But he was a Brown, and he had to go through a million different coaches. So, I don't know. It's tough to think about successful QBs who just give off miserable, you know?
No, I would agree with that, for sure. I mean, even the late, late in his career is a better way to say it. Brett Favre seemed pretty miserable, too, even Aaron Rodgers right now seems miserable.
Oh, my God, yeah.
As well, so it's...
But those guys are those are Hall of Fame caliber
right.
dudes.
And different, right. Towards end of their career, older age, different circumstances. Maybe it's the Packers as well. I would agree that if he does not grow out of it and that misery, especially those kind of wild emotions that you wear in your sleeve, continue, you know, year 3, year 4, year 5, he could be in trouble, and so could the Bears.
Yeah, that wears on people fast. And I think about it from a market perspective as well. And I'm just throwing cities out there. If he were drafted to Minnesota loves football. I'm trying to think of a city that wouldn't beat him up. I just know everybody
like
in Minnesota.
LA? I know LA is big, but in terms of, like, diehard fandom.
Yeah, he wouldn't get beat up in Los Angeles. He wouldn't. And I think he'd get a little bit more grace being in the fact that he spent his college years out there. I think there are a lot of cities where he could, quote unquote, and I don't want to say get away with being miserable, where he wouldn't be picked apart for everything. Like, if you got to wear nail polish to kind of express an FU to a fan base, or Chicago is a tough place to play. Let me just put it that way. Chicago is tough. It can be unforgiving. Baltimore can be unforgiving. New York, the Northeast Corridor, can be unforgiving. There are a lot of places where you can get away with playing, and, you know, a couple days later, yeah, you had a bad game. You know, you could potentially be going to the supermarket. You know, there are some markets in some cities where if you have a bad game, you don't want to go outside. And we've heard this from athletes. How about this? This is a different sport. Joey Gallo of the New York Yankees. Oh, my God. What a disaster. He's starting hurricanes at home plate with his baseball bat. He made it very clear. When he was finally gone from the Yankees, he was so bad. It got to the point he did not want to go outside and be seen in New York. Like, really think about that. Like, you're a professional athlete. You do not want to go outside because you don't want the criticism. You don't want the, hey, you'll do better next time. Oh, go out there and do better. It's not like anybody's going to run up to you in the street and say, hey, man, you suck. But there's certain elements that you feel it. When people tell you that you're bad and you know that you're bad and you internalize it, that's a tough, tough pill to go out there and swallow. And the way that he behaved in college, I don't know if he's setting himself up for success or this can all be kind of water under the bridge. It's just the signs don't look good. We got a lot of guys who are just, I don't want to say diva-ish. For instance, we finally got the explanation from Justin Fields why he unfollowed the Bears. And to me, it's a new era. I get it. New era, new player. Listen to Fields' explanation why he unfollowed the Bears. And is this something that, you know, I don't know, Peyton Manning would say? Could you imagine Tom Brady, played more recently, could you imagine Tom Brady saying this? Hey, Justin, hey, why did you unfollow the Bears on social media?
Why do people take social media so serious?
Like, but like, why are you unfollowing the Bears?
Like, I still mess with the Bears. It's not, I'm just trying to take a little break. I unfollow the Bears and the NFL, bro. I'm not just trying to have football on my timeline. Mm. Like, I know y'all mess with a girl, EQ, especially you. Just because you don't follow the girl on IG don't mean you're not messing with her.
That's true. You know? That's true. That's facts. That's facts.
Oh, so you're saying you mess with the Bears more now that you unfollow them?
Man, it's not even like that.
Okay.
It's something that I don't want to see in my timeline. I'm about to go on vacation. I don't want to see no football. And guess
just,
what?
Just get away. Get a little away for a little bit.
It's either Keith Fields. We want Fields. It's either Drive Caleb. So it's like, bruh, man, I'm tired of hearing the talk. I just want it to be over.
I'm tired of hearing the talk. I just want it to be over. I unfollowed the Bears on social media. Well, everybody takes it so serious. And he was on the St. Brown Brothers podcast. And I understand. Justin Fields is 25 years old. Tom Brady is 45 years old. I can't imagine. And this, and I get it. I've wanted a new generation of quarterback. I've wanted to see some of the older guys kind of give way to somebody like Patrick Mahomes, to Lamar Jacksons, to the Josh Allens, to the Herberts of the world. I have waited and I have wanted this. But this is the stuff that comes with it. And I'm just like, cringe. Like, this is the new generation. Like, I got to go on social media and I got to go, I unfollowed the team. Nah, I just need a vacation. Come on now. We got LeBron James. Almost 40 years old, has been through every era of social media while his career has gone through, pretty much paralleled this new era and the changes in it, going from flip phones to iPhones to camera phones. This has all been LeBron James. LeBron James is putting up hourglass emojis. Hey, LeBron, why'd you put up an hourglass emoji? I don't want to talk about it. Like, Hickey, we're screwed in that regard. This part I hate, man. I hate it.
I'm with you, and it's only going to get worse. I don't know, I guess, what's the next move? Do you block the team after unfollowing? I don't know where we go from here, but it's definitely not going the other way.
You know what? I'm waiting one day for a team to add a player because the teams do that now too, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the team realizes it's been blocked, and the team then shares that, like screenshots it to say, hey, I've been blocked, and then they share it with everybody, and they make the player look petty.
Hey, either get out ahead of the story or the story controls you. That would be the team getting out ahead of it.
It's wild. And you know what I do appreciate? That a lot of the teams now have social media teams, of course, but they have younger people operating the accounts. And sometimes the accounts can be pretty snarky. Like, you can't just tack a tweet or message a team and expect, you know, just a clean answer. They respond like people. It's that part I find pretty funny.
Same. I like that. That's been added. I like the personality of, like, you tweet a team and it's like they don't just let it sit there. Not you afraid might, to go back.
You might get an answer back. Speaking of might get an answer. Hey, hold on, Hickey. I'm going to do this live on the radio. I want to know what Russell Wilson has been sharing on his social media, because he's in the news. Let's see. What is Russell Wilson? I'm going to guess there is nothing wrong with this. I'm going to guess there's a Bible verse and a positive quote on leadership, as you said, right? Let's see. Dangerous Wilson. Oh, yeah. The first thing here, Future's first NBA All-Star weekend. He tweeted with his son. There's another video, Steph Curry teaching his son how to shoot. They're wearing Kobe jerseys. How sweet. Happy Valentine's Day to his wife, Sierra. He thanks Jason Tatum for a jersey. Oh, motivation and inspiration. There we go. So there's Russell Wilson. Well, he's in the news. And so when we come back and take a break, or when we come back from break, everybody has some type of a thought or idea where Russell Wilson is going to play next. Everybody from Victor Cruz to Ocho Cinco. And they both think that one team in particular would work well for Russell Wilson. We're going to talk about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing, and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
Shall I take your order or do you need a minute?
Yes, I'll be ready. Just buying a car on Carvana.
What?
It's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do was answer a few questions.
What? That's handy.
Yeah, now I'm customizing my down and monthly payments.
What? That's an exquisite deal.
And just like that, Carvana's delivering my car in a couple days.
What?
Oh yeah, sorry. I'll have the burrito.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval. Delivery fees may apply.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. You know, right before we went to break, we talked about social media usage. You know, Justin Fields unfollowing the Bears and the emotions of Caleb Williams, as he is a top prospect here in the upcoming NFL draft. And then it brought to my attention someone who doesn't seemingly say or do anything wrong, at least publicly. Everything is carefully manufactured and meticulous. It's Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, who no longer of the Seattle Seahawks, soon to be no longer of the Denver Broncos unless there's some type of massive change. We know that Russell Wilson is going to be moving on from Sean Payton. Russell Wilson just turned 35 years old. He just signed this big old contract with the Denver Broncos. 5 years, $242 million. He's making about $50 million a year. And all things considered, if the Denver Broncos want to move on, they're going to have to cut him loose. And then, well, Russell Wilson will then be able to sign with another team at the veterans minimum. It shouldn't cost another team more than $2 to $3 million to sign Russell Wilson, because the Denver Broncos are pretty much going to pick up the majority, almost all, of the tab. And so we've had talks and discussions here on air about where Justin Fields might go, and now also where Russell Wilson might end up, now that we know that, hey, Sean Payton doesn't seem to particularly care for the guy. Wants his own dude, whoever it might be. Probably some young guy that he could boss around and mold. Well, there's a couple of people who have some thoughts on where Russell Wilson might end up. Let's listen to this man first. His name? Chad Ochocinco Johnson. I don't know if his name is officially Ochocinco or Johnson there. I have no idea. I do know, in speaking with Shannon Sharp on their Nightcap show, that Chad Ochocinco said that he got a little birdie that told him where Russell Wilson might end up. Listen to this.
A little birdie told me, and I said this many shows ago, that Russell Wilson coming on over there to the Steelers.
I think right now I saw on DraftKings the betting favorite is Justin Fields to end up in Pittsburgh.
No, he's going to Atlanta. I told you, I got the script.
Okay, and we've heard that before too, right? The NFL has a script. The NFL even made a joke prior to last season when the season got started about the script. We don't know where any of these guys are going to end up. I'm eagerly anticipating and trying to see where they end up. For all I know, Justin Fields, he might end up in Pittsburgh, or, you know, Russell Wilson. I think this would be best. And Russell Wilson might end up in Atlanta. Somebody else who has some strong feelings about where Russell Wilson might end up and what he might do is Victor Cruz. Because Victor Cruz, he was on the Carton Show on Fox, and Victor Cruz, he had some words about the Steelers and Russell as well.
Russell Wilson wins the division if he goes to the Steelers next year.
You have Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens. The Steelers will be better than that.
Yes.
Okay. You have Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. They're better than that.
Yes.
You have Joe Burrow.
There we go. Deshaun Watson will be hurt before week 8.
There we go.
He'll be hurt before week 8.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going that far. I don't know if I'm going as far to say if Russell Wilson joins the Pittsburgh Steelers, that all of a sudden this team would be the favorites and the best team in the AFC North. We just heard him name all the squads. We heard him name all the quarterbacks. And just in a general sense, the AFC North is nothing but a dogfight every single year, every single season. And so Russell Wilson would be joining the squad, and he'd be looking at a bunch of, I don't want to say, disgruntled wide receivers. George Pickens is seemingly always on another planet. Najee Harris, he ain't a receiver. He's a running back. He wants to get paid. He'd be kind of throwing the coach under the bus. I don't know. I don't know who the Steelers can add. Like, for a long-term option? I feel like the Steelers, even if they added Russell Wilson, would he add stability to the team? I guess, but how much? He's older, right? Mike Tomlin and Russ? Hickey, what say you, man?
I mean, they'd obviously be, I think, better next year with Russ than they were this previous year with Kenny and with Mason Rudolph. I think Pittsburgh's problem, too, is the fact that the AFC was, we'll say, down last year, in part because injuries, right? Aaron Rodgers goes out. Joe Burrow missed over half the year. Like, I don't think those injuries, I'm knock on wood here, are going to happen again. So you know, believe teams like the Bengals, at least, are going to be better in your division.
Right.
And health. So, yeah, it's just, they may not be much worse, the Steelers, but I think everyone else around them is getting better, which is problematic.
Carton shows in the morning time, right? Early morning?
Very early morning, yes, sir.
Maybe that's why you think Victor Cruz, did he, like, miss some sleep the night before? Why would he say such a thing?
Maybe for this exact reason. I hate to say that, but...
Attention?
Maybe to get some attention. Maybe to get people, you know, looking at him.
Didn't we have some... Oh, like J.J. Redick?
Like J.J. Redick, amongst others.
Yeah, I saw that Patrick Beverly, speaking of J.J. Redick, I saw Patrick Beverly responded and said that. Why are you kind of shouting out Doc Rivers? Doc Rivers gave you your only starting job that you would have in the NBA. And J.J. Redick took the time to respond to Patrick Beverley, and he said, back when I received that offer from the Clippers, I received another one from another team to be a starter. I love it how everybody just, I don't want to say kills each other on social media, but everybody just puts in their 2 cents to respond. What a world. Does anybody talk to anybody privately anymore? Like when you have a problem, or is everything public?
Oh, it's all public, and it's all through text and social media. It's never face-to-face or phone call.
Yeah. What a world. It's like LeBron and his emoji. By the way, LeBron ain't playing tomorrow, right?
He is out.
So LeBron James has been dealing with an ankle issue. I feel like I've heard about this for like a month. He's played through a bunch of games. He sat out some games. He's the oldest player in the NBA. I understand that. He's 39 years old. This is the break. He played, what, like 12 minutes on Sunday? Had a couple of crazy, thunderous dunks. And then he sat down, which I get. And so the Lakers play the Warriors on Thursday night. It's supposed to be a big game. He's not playing. And then they play on Friday against the Spurs. And so basically they're giving LeBron James an extra day rest so he can, like, get his ankle together? That's the logic, I guess, right?
Yes, but wouldn't – like, if the Lakers are trying to win as many games right down the stretch as they possibly can, which is obviously that's what they're trying to do, wouldn't you play LeBron Thursday against the Warriors because there's a greater chance of you losing that game?
Because Spurs suck.
Right, like – you have a chance. You're basically waving the white flag tomorrow night, right? Like, this. It would be an upset if the Warriors lose tomorrow. Why not just?
Yeah, the
play
Warriors
LeBron?
Have been playing better.
They have, and without LeBron, you think like the Lakers are shorthanded. It's gonna be tough for them to win that game, and so it's like you're gonna play LeBron against the crappy Spurs the next night. Wouldn't you try to play LeBron tomorrow, rest him Friday, and you have a chance still to sweep that double dip, if you will, versus. Feels like they're punting already on the first game back from the break.
Maybe it has something to do with being on the road tomorrow versus being at home on Friday versus the Lakers. I mean, if you're LeBron James and you know you're quote-unquote running out of time, whether it's two more years or three or one, who knows, right? Do you want to play Wembanyama in Los Angeles, or do you want to just play the Warriors again in San Francisco, which it feels like he's done in the Bay Area a million times already, you know?
No, I hear you. I mean, I guess it also depends on his – I mean, I think he's still motivated to win a championship, which if that's the case, you would think, all right, let me play against a better team, and in a situation where we need a lot of wins to get out of the play-in tournament – you know, this is a chance to give us the best position to win if I play on Thursday versus sitting. I don't know. I don't know, JR. If you were a Lakers fan, would you be pissed about this because he played on Sunday?
I don't know. I'm trying to also factor in the fact that he's old, right? He's old. He is. He's 39. Like, in the history of the NBA, we haven't seen anybody play as much as he has. Like regular season, postseason combined. And so I do want to take that into account. Like the rest of his career, for however much longer it goes on, there's going to be like tons of maintenance here. Like there's going to be games where he doesn't play. You would think coming out of the break that he would be okay. See, I put it to you this way. Would you expect LeBron to play on Friday against the Spurs?
I would, yes.
I do too. And maybe it's either or. And I can only imagine that it's an extra day rest and before we play at home. That can be my only thought. But I would assume, especially with the NBA and its new rules and, you know, whatever the case might be, is he going to be on the bench in Golden State? I would think so, right?
You would think.
Yeah, it's I don't want to say
he missed the last road game before the break, if I'm not mistaken. I think he went home against – I think they played the Jazz. I don't think he was there.
I guess it's because of injury. So this doesn't count into the even if it's quote-unquote load management, if it's a legitimate injury, I thought the NBA's new rules were that they at least want the players to still be visible.
Yes.
Even if they're not, going to play.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe he gets a – it's LeBron James. He's ancient. So maybe he gets a pass. Wild stuff. I don't know. The idea of him on the floor – he hasn't played against Wembanyama, has he?
Oh, it's a good question. I forget if they played at least once already.
I don't remember them playing each other. I feel like I would have saw that photo all over the damn place.
That's a good point. You're absolutely right about that.
And I don't think we've seen. You know what? LeBron stares down Victor Wembanyama, then hits a jumper. Yeah, so I guess they did play. What do I know? I tried to find a reason and a hook, but. Yeah, highlights. LeBron James and Victor Wembanyama, first meeting. Wild stuff. Anyway, LeBron James is old, so he's not going to play every game. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, there are going to be Laker fans not happy. There are going to be Warriors fans not happy that they don't see LeBron again. When we come back from break, I'm going to tell you about a league. I'm going to tell you about its players who aren't happy. And it has nothing to do with the game. It has something to do with what they wear.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 855-212-4CBS is the number. That's 855-212-4CBS. You know, throughout the show, we've heard from quite a few or talked about some just not miserable, but just folks aren't happy. Justin Fields wants to know what his future looks like. Kevin Durant and Charles Barkley are at it again. We talked about Dan Hurley from UConn. UConn got smacked by Creighton, and Dan Hurley is the fans are chanting F you, and he's like, I'm going to beat you up. I'm like, why you want to beat up a college kid, man? Were you in your 50s, your 60s? Just give it a break. Caleb Williams, he didn't do anything. He just sometimes he's come across as miserable. And then we talked about Russell Wilson, who in the most positive way possible at times has come across as disingenuous, a little miserable, while still smiling. As we get ready for the Major League Baseball season, and I can't forget LeBron, he's the king of passive-aggressive, but as we get ready for the start of the Major League Baseball season, it's spring training, right? Players are out in the sun, playing catch, getting stretched, getting warmed up, getting their timing together for both the pitchers and the catchers and the hitters. And one of the biggest stories that has just been percolating across spring training all over the damn place, it's about their jerseys. You heard me correctly. They are Major League Baseball players. It's not Anthony Rendon. Hey, Hickey, it's not Anthony Rendon. He's not complaining about his jersey, is he?
No sorry.
Wouldn't that be something if he was one of the players complaining about his jersey?
I mean, it'd be par for the course. What else does he hate about the sport?
Yeah, he doesn't want to show up to work. He doesn't want to wear the jersey. Next thing you know, he's going to ask not to wear the baseball cap. He's like, I don't want to wear it.
The hat messes up his hair too much.
It's like, I don't want to wear the hat anymore. Find somebody else to do it. Anyway, the players are mad about the jerseys. I want you to listen to this news clip. This is courtesy of the Today Show. Yes, the Today Show on NBC.
With spring training in full swing,
Baseball's not only buzzing about megastar Shohei Ohtani switching jerseys to join the Los Angeles Dodgers, but they're also talking about his actual jersey after the league debuted a new fabric and technology.
Somehow this feels even more authentic than the ones that we've been wearing.
Some players, like Ohtani's Dodgers teammate Jason Hayward, speaking up as negative comments surfaced about the new apparel. From The Athletic, reporting an Angels outfielder saying they look like a replica, to the Baltimore Banner, quoting an Orioles veteran who said, "I think that the performance wear might feel nice, but the look of it is like a knockoff jersey from TJ Maxx."
Whoa, a knockoff jersey from TJ Maxx? What does that mean? What is a knockoff jersey from TJ Maxx? Hickey, I thought TJ Maxx, they sell like real clothes, right? No?
They do. At a low price, I guess, but still.
A knockoff? Like, wow. I guess TJ Maxx, you wouldn't find in a... Yeah, they don't sell knockoffs in TJ Maxx.
Got to go
Maybe
online
they got
for that.
What?
So you got to go across the seas for that. The knockoffs.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a baseball player whose jersey would be in TJ Maxx. Shohei Ohtani Angels jersey, right? TJ Maxx?
Yes, that's a good one.
That would be in TJ Maxx. But they're not selling knockoffs in there. And I see people complaining about the jerseys. The players say some of them don't feel right. The letters, the font on the name is too small. It's like you have these massive numbers on the back, but then their names are real small across. Like, what are we doing here? And so we got these new jerseys. They're designed by Nike. Like, how difficult is it? They're designed by Nike. They're manufactured by Fanatics. And I like Fanatics. I know people at Fanatics. And you know what they send me every now and then? They don't send me no stinking jerseys. Every now and then I get a T-shirt. And so maybe that's why these baseball players, maybe this is why their jerseys suck so much. I don't know. I guess there's something to complain about. The players got to complain about the jerseys. And it's spring training, so what's the big deal? Like, these dudes, are they spoiled? Are they making much to do about nothing? Like, why the hell are they complaining about jerseys for?
Oh, they're in the right. You can't play good if you don't look good. And these jerseys look like knockoffs from TJ Maxx.
Why do you say that? Because the names are small on the back or what?
Names are small on the back. Just the stitching itself is not pristine. A lot of it's iron on.
Oh, no.
Logos on the sleeve. So it's like the craftsmanship, just the overall
No. You're joking.
No, I'm being dead serious.
They iron the patch. They're not stitched on.
On the sleeve, like some teams have like a commemorative patch or like their team's logo on the side, on the sleeve of their jersey. Those, I am 95% sure, are like ironed on or like digitally enhanced on the jersey.
Which saves some money, cheap. Right?
That, to yes. Yeah, that's a problem. Can't look that bad out there on the field.
I'm going to reserve judgment until they start playing in a few days. A matter of fact, it's not even playing in... Yeah, it is playing in a few days. I think about 4 days they get started. Is it really that big of a deal?
I hope you're right and it's just spring training jerseys and that the regular season jerseys are somewhat normal, although I don't know why they make different spring training jerseys, but...
Let's think about how far things have gone, right? There used to be spring training jerseys because it's played in hot weather. The jerseys are just, you know how you have the old football material, the mesh that you would practice, throw over some pads when it's hot? Like, there were spring training jerseys that were just mesh. And what was anybody going to complain about? It was mesh with a stitch logo on it. And so now you got a full jersey, and now because they iron the logo on, it's something to have a fit about?
Again, you can't win a lot of games if you look like crap. If you look cheap, you're going to play cheap.
Oh, that's what? Who said that? Deion Sanders? Is that where we're getting this from now?
I stand by that.
Yeah. I'm not big. I'm done on the jerseys, man. You wear jerseys? You got a collection?
No, not a collection. I'm a strict one jersey at a time kind of guy.
What does that mean, one at a time?
Like, for example, I'm a big Mets fan. I only have one Mets jersey. So
let me guess. Wait. Is it Pete Alonso?
It is not Pete Alonso.
Is it an active Met?
It is an active Met. I try to go one active at a time.
Per season?
No. Just like when they're there. Like, for example, my last jersey, the reason why I got one last offseason was because Jacob DeGrom left the Mets. Had a Jacob DeGrom jersey. He left. Okay, got to get a new one. But I won't get another new one until this current player, I'll say most likely, is off the team. For the most part.
Lindor ain't going nowhere. It's Lindor.
Francisco Lindor. That's right.
Yeah, that's the safest bet to get a jersey, right?
Love Lindor.
He ain't going anywhere.
No. Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm not a big jersey dude. Most of the jerseys that I have, they got my name on the back. You know, they've been gifts, but yeah.
Do you go retro or no retro jerseys?
So I do. I have retro jerseys. Like I have a Tim Duncan authentic jersey from like, I don't know, maybe 98, 99.
Oh, okay.
And that's one of my favorite jerseys. It's black, it's white. Nike did it. It's heavy. It's authentic. How these dudes played an NBA game in these jerseys, I don't know, because I would think what they wear now is much, much lighter. It looks lighter. But yeah, I have a Frank Thomas Big Hurt jersey, and yeah, I don't wear any of it because I'm like, it's kind of pointless, you know. So.
I don't want him in the park walking around with a Tim Duncan throwback.
No.
All right.
Nah. I don't need the attention. The people are gonna ask me about it. You know, like who wants that?
That's true.
I want to go outside and wear my clothes and not have to have a conversation about, oh hey, you know, where'd you get that Tim Duncan jersey? Yeah. Like somebody saw me the other day. I had a hoodie on. It said Atlanta across the front. A guy said, hey, man, that hoodie is nice. And then he wanted to talk to me about where I got it. I don't want to do this. I just want to walk outside. I don't want to talk about Tim Duncan or my clothes, you know. So, nah, no throwbacks for me. And Major League Baseball players, if they're not happy with their clothes, then I don't know. Tell the union to do something about it. I think they did. It's some just wild stuff. We got to find something to get into. Anyway. The JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. It's done. It's it. And I will not be back tomorrow, but I will, but at a different time, just for tomorrow. I think I'm filling in for Zach, so that'll be 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific. Hey, Hickey, you're going to be here, though, right?
That's right, in your chair the next 2 days.
Amazing. Where can people follow you, Hickey?
Ryan_Hickey and the number 3 on Twitter.
Amazing. I'll be here tomorrow right before Ryan Hickey, and then we'll be back together again. Enjoying a great show on Monday. You can follow me everywhere at JR Sport Brief. If you've missed today's show, if you want to know when I'm on air or what the hell is going on, you can follow me everywhere at JR Sport Brief. JR Sport Brief show is done. But don't move here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Bart Winkle is coming up next. Thank you, Hickey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.